Blog Talk Radio.
My name is James Tate, and I'm on the journey with Neville D'Angelo.
Welcome. I am Neville, and you are on the journey. On the journey, we stop at intriguing places to meet fascinating people with novel solutions to life's tricky problems. Yes. And we play a few games, too, as we track the phenomenal characters of three classic books: A Soundbite Life, Flight of the Fused Monkeys, and Illicet, A Time to Begin Again. So join us. James Tate is a graduate from the University of Texas at Dallas with a BS in Public Affairs and is currently pursuing a Master's in Public Policy. He recently returned to Dallas after completing an internship with GLSEN in Washington, D.C., through the UT System's Bill Archer Fellowship Program, and currently serves as the chair of GLSEN's Greater Dallas Chapter. James attended the Safe Schools Advocacy Summit last March and the National Safe Schools Roundtable in November, and advises with the Education Committee to implement Dallas Independent School District's newly adopted anti-bullying and harassment policy. James is a commanding public speaker promoting safe schools initiatives and community organizing projects. He is, as you can tell, a multifaceted person with a particular passion for humanitarian issues and education. He's fluent in Spanish. He maintains an online CNN iReport blog and has recently been a featured guest contributor to the Dallas Morning News. James prides himself in living out his motto, "Be the change." That is why, in fact, I have invited him to our program. Realizing a community need, he, in cooperation with the DA, Craig Watkins, along with the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, created the Citizen Prosecutor Academy to provide Dallas County constituents the opportunity to engage in open dialogue with prosecutors and agency directors, and to discover both the many operations maintained by the DA's office, as well as to learn about our criminal justice process. Before we meet James, I'd like to remind you that you can find any link referenced on this program on the Journey's blog, and that is at matchboxmystery.wordpress.com. I'll repeat that: matchbox mystery, which is one word, matchboxmystery.wordpress.com. You'll also find a lot of other fun material there as well, so go check it out. Of course, for those of you who are following our Business of Sports series, you could find information and links on our other blog, that is ryosports.blogspot.com. R-Y-O-S-P-O-R-T-S, ryosports.blogspot.com. I encourage you, of course, to play along with our games or journey with us through our three classic books, A Soundbite Life, Flight of the Fused Monkeys, and Illicet, A Time to Begin Again, all of which you can find on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's. Each of them is ready-made, of course, for your smart devices and your tablets, your iPhone, your iPad, your Nook, your Kindle, or whichever device you prefer. So grab a copy and join us. Enjoy. Well, James, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much.
All right. I was very impressed by the fact that you decided to either create or encourage the creation of the Dallas Citizen Academy, or Dallas Prosecutor Citizen Academy. I'll get that name right before we would like to learn more about that. But first, tell us something about yourself.
My name is James Tate. I am a grad student at the University of Texas at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I had an undergraduate degree in public affairs, and now I'm seeking a master's in public policy
mm-hmm.
With a legal concentration.
Why did you choose those as your...
A variety of reasons.
Okay.
Predominantly, I think, just over the course of my life, I have found a variety of things in which I wanted to be some type of aid or help or assistance
mm-hmm.
in changing. My own background probably gave me some catalytic
mm-hmm.
type of encouragement
mm-hmm.
to go into that. I grew up in a very stable, normal home, and after I left my home to start school initially, many years ago, I was in an environment where things weren't so stable.
Mm.
So I think that there were probably beginnings. As I look back and I'm retrospective over the last 15 years of my life,
mm.
I think things probably were left hanging in my mind
mm-hmm.
somewhere, probably not processed at the time,
mm-hmm.
and packed away for
mm-hmm.
a later date. Fast forward to now, kind of when all of those pieces to the puzzle are starting to come together in my own life. But I think that the degrees that I have and I'm currently seeking will give me some grounding
mm-hmm.
And respect in a way in public policy in which I would be able to make a change.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Dallas, Texas?
No, actually I grew up in a very small town, Fritch, Texas, outside
uh-huh.
of Amarillo,
uh-huh.
About 30-ish miles outside of Amarillo.
Right.
You know, a humble background in a nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
My parents just celebrated 38 years
wow.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Very young parents. My
yeah.
dad is 57 and my mom is 56.
Right. Are you the only child or do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister.
Oh,
she's
okay.
a little, about 3.5 years older than I am. So she'll be 38 in July.
Okay. Well, in doing some research on you, I know that you were both on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yes.
I saw a picture of you at the White House, or in front of the White House. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I think the picture that you're referring to, if I'm correct, was actually not while I was living in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
It was a year prior to me moving and having the internship in D.C., and I was involved in a model UN conference through the University of Texas at Dallas,
mm-hmm.
By way which took us to D.C. to engage with other model UN participants.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really my first exposure. It was actually my first time in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Having watched at least 7,000 hours of The West Wing. It was like a coming, you know, about for me, like a rites of passage to be standing in front of this, you know, place that I had worshipped for so long.
Right.
So that particular picture that you're speaking of was really just like my abreast moment of saying, you know, I finally made it.
Right.
In fact, my mom commented on that picture on Facebook and said, you know, that's where you're supposed to be.
Mm.
And it kind of, you know, resonates with me even now that she had known, even I haven't expressed my interest in working in the higher level of politics, in particular with the administration or the White House, but I think she's always known for a long time that was really my desire, to be involved in change,
mm-hmm.
be that in politics or on a macro or micro level or on the ground or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she, for her, it was able to put a picture with what her idea of what I should be doing together.
And that's what I like. I mean, when I met you, I remember seeing that image, Be the Change, with a picture of you. I thought it was a picture of one of my friends, because I didn't know that there were several people that had a picture of this format, if you remember.
Correct.
And I pointed it out, and that's how I discover all this other wonderful stuff, just because of that one picture. But you were on the West Coast as well.
Yes,
right?
I was.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I moved to Los Angeles when I was 23
mm-hmm.
years old, with a different dream.
Mm-hmm.
I had been involved since my freshman year in college in makeup and the arts and cosmetics and beauty and fashion and aesthetics and everything beautiful. And again, it was another one of those heartstrings. Like, I think this is something I'm supposed to do. Obviously, somebody that wants to get into the film industry in any regard would go coastal, primarily to do what I wanted to do. It would be on the West Coast in California. And I remember at the time I was working for MAC Cosmetics, and I was very unhappy because I felt that I had grown complacent in doing what I was doing at the time, which was more retail cosmetics, and I knew there was something more inside of me. And it was actually, it came about very quickly. I was home for Thanksgiving, and I said, I'm moving to Los Angeles, and within 5 weeks, I had packed up everything I owned, no job, no place to live, no joke, into my car, and west I headed, and I'll never forget, I drove all night, literally drove the entire trip, 20-ish hours, and I arrived into Los Angeles right at dawn, and I had only been to Los Angeles one other time, but there was, it was so significant for me to drive into the city when it was awakening, when the city awakened, because it was almost like this is my awakening and my welcome to the city. It sounds very, you know, dramatic and, you know, too narrative, but...
No, I like it. But it seems to be the story of the West, but I don't mean to cut you.
It is. It
right,
is.
Right, right. Yeah.
Which would, yeah. Which will lead you to why I eventually left.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a whole new journey for me. And... you know, at 23, you completely, you know, you think differently than you do as a 34-year-old. Now, looking back, would I have made different decisions about that journey and what it meant or what was happening inside of me at the time that prompted me to go? Probably. Would I take back the experience or the survival techniques that I built while I was there? Absolutely not, because it really taught me a lot of life lessons. That would come to play in other aspects of my life.
Right. Well, I certainly would love to have you back to talk some more about that. That seems very fascinating in and of itself. But the symbol, as I said, that you have on your Facebook, Be the Change, and the action that you took to help the creation of the Citizen Academy seem to be tied together. So tell us all about it. What is it all about?
Well, Be the Change is a piece of a quote that is, you know, fairly known, and I believe that it's Be the Change that you wish to see in the world. I believe Gandhi actually said that.
Okay.
Don't quote me,
I'll
but
check
I
it.
Believe that Gandhi, you know, had said that at some point in time, and that resonates with me because, you know, in my experiences, all around on both coasts. Here, everywhere, I see a lot of people playing lip service to public service. In that, you always people always have opinions, be that about politics or their everyday lives or what needs to change or what needs to happen. And I constantly hear that we need this or you know this should actually be offered. And so that quote always comes back to me: don't talk about it, you know, do it. Be part of the change. Don't rely on somebody else to do that. So in this particular instance, I a very profound professor and a huge mentor to me at UT Dallas, Dr. Champagne, Dr. Anthony Champagne, had sent me an email and said there's this academy that's available in Collin County, a similar citizen prosecutor academy. And he explained it briefly to me. It would give you some insight into the DA's office in Collin County and, you know, what takes place and what they do. And I thought, what an amazing experience. It kind of falls right in line with what I'm studying and what I'm interested in. And so I applied and I was accepted into the academy in Collin County. However, I had a class that was cut very closely towards it, and because of the distance between my school and where the academy was taking place in the courthouse in Collin County, it wasn't going to work as a timing issue. So, reluctantly, I had to attend only, a very limited amount of time, and then, ultimately had to, cease my ties and say, I'm so sorry, thank you so much for the opportunity, but obviously my schoolwork comes first.
Right.
So that left me a little bit discouraged, because it was something, especially after the first class that I went to, and I was like, this is amazing. You have a room filled with every race and gender and age group and socioeconomical background,
mm-hmm.
all collectively in a room to discuss important figures
mm-hmm.
in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, very discouraged by that, and, I kind of collected my thoughts, and I was like, well, I can always apply for the same academy the next semester.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of occurred to me, first of all, does this academy not exist in Dallas already?
Right.
If Collin County, which is, 1/100th of the size of Dallas
right.
County, if they can have this academy and have, dedicated prosecutors and heads of departments that would be willing to come in and share with the community exactly what it is that their offices do,
mm-hmm.
why don't we have that available in Dallas? I can't be the only person that would be interested in attending something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the light bulb went off.
Mm-hmm.
My aha moment came about. And I said, be the change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did. And literally, and I've had this conversation with so many people over and over, that you have that opportunity when the light bulb goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either take it and say, that's a really good idea, and set it on the shelf, or you can take it and say, how can I bring this to fruition?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that came about by making absolutely a cold call to the district attorney's office. And I'm sure they thought I was crazy. Very, very nice, though, from the very beginning, I have to say that. That the DA's office was always, even in the beginning when they didn't really understand what it was that I was wanting to do,
mm-hmm.
They were always open and willing to listen
mm-hmm.
and request more information or want to gather more facts or what have you. And so, quickly what happened was they put me in touch with several other people in the DA's office, and I ended up landing with their community specialist
mm-hmm.
that does work with the district attorney in community affairs and how to engage with the community, which was really a match made in heaven for me, because that was my exact directive. I wanted for the DA's office to engage with the community.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this entire process, it really transcended what I think the directives and the objectives were from the Collin County office to, oh my God, we can take this to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
Because besides the 35 people that will sit in this class and really get a firsthand approach as to what takes place in the DA's office or in these agencies, they'll take that information back and they'll share it
yeah.
with their communities and their colleagues and their friends and family.
Well, Bill, let me let you lose your thought, but then
okay.
I think you're probably answering the question. So what is it that you wanted of the DA's office? What is it that you wanted to create? What is this change in specifics were you trying to do?
A variety of things.
Right.
And I took it from many different angles as a constituent
right.
and a Dallas County resident.
Right.
I personally wanted to know, what is it that you do? As any elected official,
mm-hmm.
who has control of taxpayer dollars,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important and beneficial to citizens of, whatever constituency that you belong to understand exactly what it is that they're doing with your money.
But why were that particular group? Why were you interested in that particular group? And what?
Probably because it, the spark that I had in Collin County,
right.
but because of my education and my own career path
mm-hmm.
in politics, and the criminal justice, sector in general,
right.
I thought, what an amazing journey it would take me on to really explore what the DA's office did and continues to do, as opposed to city government, the city council, or the mayor's office. Because honestly, the district attorney's office has such such face-to-face contact with the public every single day, and their relationships and ties with other, you know, agencies, and with the sheriff's office, and the jail system, and, you know, they're so closely related that I wanted to really engage with an agency or an elected official that has close ties to the community. And, you know, so that's basically where it started.
So you were telling him that you just met this, you had this meeting with Maid was in heaven. So tell us about it.
It was amazing. When I had the first contact with the office, it was really, we don't understand exactly, but it is what you're wanting to do. But give us some more information. Give us some more details. And so I explained to them in very, you know, small terms what I just shared with you about my experience with Collin County, and what an amazing opportunity this would be, not only for the DA's office to show transparency in their office, but a great way for them to reach out into their community and say, let us share with you what we do. It will give you ease. It will give you understanding. Knowledge is power. Everyone knows that. And I think that was probably what really, what opened up the door, so to speak. And so, you know, a couple of emails were passed back and forth. And one morning I opened my laptop and it was an email saying the district attorney would like to invite you in to, you know, to meet with him and really share your thoughts in person. He wants to understand from a personal perspective what it is that you're wanting to do. So here I go, you know, developing all, you know, my nice PowerPoint, and you know, I needed to be able to not so much sell the idea to the DA, but show him how it would be, how it would become a symbiotic relationship, how it would be beneficial to the DA's office and to him, the DA, but also to the citizens of this county. I mean, that's exactly what I did. I shared with him the opportunities that we would have to reach out and reach in to a very diverse population of people, which was something that I'm sure they got very tired of hearing the word diverse, because from the get-go, when I really thought about it after our initial conversations, and I thought this may actually come to fruition, I really sat down and created, you know, a small agenda note for myself. When you have the opportunity to speak to him, really share with him exactly what it is that you're wanting to do and whom you're wanting to reach. And I, from day one, you know, I explicitly told them, I do not want this to be an elitist academy. I want us to, if at all possible, reach every genre of race and gender and socioeconomical status, like I said, educational level, and interest. What was it? What reasons would the constituents want to join this academy and dedicate 10 weeks of their lives, you know, 20 hours, so to speak? What reasons would they have for doing it? And that's kind of where we are right now in the, you know, in that process.
But you've got a date when the academy, when will the classes start?
The classes begin on...
They began?
No, they will begin.
Okay.
They will begin on May 1st.
May 1st,
of this year. And, oh, I'm so sorry. They will begin March 1st of this year and commence on May 3rd of this year. It will be 10 full weeks, meeting on Thursday evenings.
All right. And how do you communicate this to the citizens of Dallas or the county?
In a variety of ways. I obviously reached back to the same professor that had shared the email with me, along with four or five other faculty members and administrators in my own school. I've reached out to criminal justice faculty members in SMU, Dallas University, three or four of the community colleges at DCCCD, along with reaching out to several other organizations based on a variety of other things, with LULAC and some other organizations.
Now, would this, is would citizens have to pay to attend?
Absolutely not.
So it is totally free. They get a chance to learn about the DA's office, learn about their functioning within the community. Who will be conducting these classes?
Actually, there will be the district attorney himself will be there the first night. And what he will do is basically introduce and welcome the class into the academy, the first annual academy. And then I believe we're still working out the logistics completely, so I can't say too much. But, it'll be, the first night will be a high-profile event. There will probably the most high-profile of all of the nights. But going forward into the classes, it will be different prosecutors, different department heads. There will be two field trips, one to the sheriff's office and to the jail, and the other to the medical examiner's office. So we can really get them inside and see and what's going on besides just sitting in a two-hour session for 10 weeks.
Now, I know that you want to reach a diverse, we have a diverse community and you want to reach all the groups, but which are there particular groups that you would find that this would be more beneficial to than others?
Honestly, no, because I think that it could be beneficial
to any citizen.
Well, to any citizen, and again, going back to not wanting it to be just necessarily an elitist type, anybody who is a Dallas resident should really know what's taking place in their immediate surroundings. Now, I think that probably pre-law students, law students, criminal justice students, paralegal students would probably find particular interest not only in the education that they would receive, but the connections that they would probably make. Again, I can't say too much, but, we've already received, considerable amounts of applications, and it's refreshing to see that some of the people that have applied have no history in government or politics whatsoever, and they're just citizens that are interested in understanding what's going on.
So how, if somebody, when somebody hears this program, they want to apply, how do they do that?
They'd be directed to the district attorney's office on his website, and there's actually a direct link where you can apply online.
Right, I saw that.
There.
So that's the place that they go to. There's no other place.
Correct. That is the only. And any other media source that you would find information from that would direct you back to the DA's website.
Right. Okay. I like it. Well, would you be willing to talk to us about it after it is completed to tell us?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Our hopes, obviously, are for this to be, a continued series. We would like to eventually get to the point where we host two citizen prosecutor academies a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, in accordance with, any other educational practice for the most part. So yes, I would love to come back and share in our successes and our opportunities and ways that we can get better. We have a few surprises that I was absolutely forbidden to talk about. it'll certainly be interesting to the participants that are selected, what they're doing in their office.
So let me say, the number is restricted to 35?
This first class, we wanted to be very guarded. We didn't want to be overambitious in the amount of people that we could facilitate in the class. And so who's to say that our next class may not be able to provide for more participants, but this first time around, we are limiting it to 35.
Great. Well, I can't say how much I am pleased to know that you've acted out that your motto, Be the Change. I'm particularly impressed not only that you're willing to do that, but also that, you're a student of UTD. I don't know if you know that I've been a member of the engineering board on UTD and an industry.
We have an amazing engineering school.
Right. A member of the committee responsible for telecom curriculum. So when I heard that you were doing this and you were from UTD, there was double pleasure that a student of the school that I represent, even though I didn't attend that school, just a member of the board, I'm very, very, very pleased.
I appreciate that.
Well, James, I'm very, very grateful that you spent the time with us today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being here and getting to share what we're doing here in Dallas.
Great. Well, I actually look forward to hear what, how the program proceeds, either during the program or after the program. And, of course, you've got to come back and tell us about what happened in the West Coast.
You will be my first interview.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, James, for every guest that comes on this program, we ask them a question that is based on a soundbite like one of the books that we're tracking. And the sage said this: everyone living long enough will slip and fall into a deep hole and look up for help. Three hands will appear: the hand of a hustler, the hand of a riddler, and the hand of a clown. Choose wisely, or you'll be buried there. So I ask each of my guests, which hand will you choose and why?
Wow, interesting question, and I can think of several answers. However, I think I would probably choose the clown, because for me, I listened to your question, and the sage had said, if someone lives long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that, for me, that would be, if I had journeyed this, you know, long life and had seen many things, if it were ultimately going to be my last, you know, place of existence, I guess you could say, I would probably want to smile.
Okay.
And I think that a clown would probably make me smile.
Cool. Very interesting answer. I like your answer.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, James, for living out your motto, Be the Change. And thanks to you for listening. Our podcasts of The Journey are available free from iTunes. You can access them or download them and get more details of our books from either of our blogs. Those are matchboxmystery.wordpress.com or from riosports.blogspot.com. Next week, I'll be on the journey in the homes of two families as we honor and celebrate Black history. See you then.